Blog Talk Radio.
A lot of us in this house tonight, we're on the potter's wheel right now. And it's not comfortable. It doesn't feel good. But we need to just take solace in the fact that even though it may not feel good right now, as long as I'm in his hands, I know that everything is going to be all right. Just touch somebody, look them in the face, and tell them, I'm in his hands.
We tend to forget. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It is a wonderful day to be alive. It is a wonderful day to smell the roses. It is a wonderful day to shout hallelujah to the highest. I'm here to let you know right now that God is still in the blessing business. And so long as God is still in the blessing business, I am happy and I am full of joy. Well, hello, hello, hello. It is the fourth Sunday of April, the 28th. I am your host, sanctified and set apart with a shot of the Holy Ghost. I am Pastor D. Townsend, and welcome to the Jubilee Affair, Season 2. Brought to you always, always by the HubNet Online Network. This is God's show for God's people. As always, I am joined by the good brother Hakim Nuba.
Hey, good evening, sir. How are you?
Man, all is well, doctor. How about yourself?
I am doing very well, very well. Happy and excited to be here and ready for the good word.
Oh, yes. It's always a pleasure, doctor, to be in your presence, sir.
Thank you. Same here, sir.
Yes, sir. If you are in need of prayer, you can contact us on the Jubilee Affair Facebook page. You can tweet the HubNet Online Network. But the quickest way is to call the show, 646-787-1798. Again, that is 646-787-1798. Just press the number 1 and you'll be placed in queue, and at the appropriate time you will be able to talk to the good brother Hakim and myself. Amen. I always like to open up the show with a word of prayer. As I always say, I am a firm believer that prayer can change things. So let us go to the throne of grace. Father God, we just thank you for all that you've done and all that you're going to do. As you have brought us together just one more time, Father, in perfect health and strength, Father, we just thank you and praise your name for your goodness, for your grace, and for your mercy. Now we ask, Father, that you will bless all those within the sound of my voice. Bless all those, Father, who have a desire to listen but could not at this time. And Father God, I just ask for a special blessing, Father, upon Brother Hakim. Continue, Father, to bless his body, bless his mind, bless his soul, bless his hands, Father. Whatever it is that you are doing in his life, Father, I add that you will bless him, Father, and that you will bless his children and his family. Father, I ask that you will bless the leader of this network, Sister Michelle. Continue, Father, to show her your will and your way for this network. Continue, Father, to bless her openly, Father, and privately, Father. We thank you for all that you do for us. Now, Father, I ask that you will bless me, Father, your servant. Continue, Father, to fill me up with your word. Continue, Father, to show me, teach me, lead me, guide me, and mold me. Thank you, Father, for removing the enemy from my path. Because I know, Father, he is trying to destroy what you are doing. But I thank you. I honor you, and I love you. In Jesus' name, amen. I am happy, and I am full of an inexpressible joy. It is my prayer that you are too. It is my job to release the captives, to teach God's word, and to stand on his promises. But above all that, it is my job to be a shoulder to those who need someone to lean on. Being a shoulder means that you can place all your burdens on me. I'm not one that's going to turn you away. And everything that I try to do in this life, I try to do it as if I was doing it unto God and as if it was happening to Jesus. See, I don't think about what would Jesus do. I think about what did Jesus do. So when I think about what did Jesus do, there's no question in my mind as to what I am supposed to do. So I say that to say that as a Christian and as a leader in the church and as a pastor in this church, I pray that all the pastors that listen to this show, that you hear the words that I'm saying. God desires for us to be that shoulder. Many times we want to have a peaceful evening. Many times we want to sit back and just relax and enjoy the day. But there are people out here that are hurting, that are struggling, and they need your love and your support. Continue to be the one that God has called you to be. Continue to show love, unadulterated love, to God's people. Not just your favorites, and not just the ones that love you, but show love to everybody. Sometimes, you know, we look at people and say, we got to feed them with a long-handled spoon. And sometimes we have to, because people will try to use you, will try to take advantage of you, will try to belittle you, will try to hurt you. You know, and sometimes we have to deal with them with a long-handled spoon. But what I'm saying to you is, when I say you love on them, your duty is to always pray for everybody. Pray for those, like the Bible says, pray for those who spitefully misuse you. For God will make your enemies your footstool. But it's not even about being a footstool. It's about praying, and I'm going to give you a little tidbit on what I do. When I come across opposition, when I come across situations that causes me to feel a certain type of way, I pray for that person. And I pray God's blessings on that person. And I'll pray my blessings on that person. You see, so I'm asking God to bless them. I'm praying blessings on them. And I'm giving up my blessings to them. So there's no way that they're not going to receive a blessing. Unless they're just that closed-minded to where they don't see what God is doing in their lives. But your job is to stay the course. Pray for them. Lift them up. Pray guardian angels around them. Hear me. You do this, and your church will turn around. Because the eyes of the people will be open. And everybody will see what God is doing. It's just a word from the pastor today. We all deal with issues, whether inside or outside the church, but it's how we deal with it. Always remember, even in this life, when you go to glory, it's not about dying. It's about how you meet death. Do you meet death cowering? Or do you meet death standing because you know that you are a son, a daughter of the Most High? It's time that we reclaim our rightful places in this church. It's time that we move ourselves from this post-Christendom society and get everybody back into the good graces of God. It's time that we stop blaming the technology and the information age on what's happening to the churches, and we go out and we love on some people. You love on those who don't look right. You love on those who don't smell right. You love on those who don't fit your church. You love on those. You love on them. And when you do that, then and only then, quoting my pastor, Reverend Dr. Philip D. Washington, then and only then are you considered a true leader. Then and only then are you considered a true leader. When you can look past the faults of everybody and still love them. Then and only then. Oh, the Holy Spirit is speaking tonight, amen. But just for a second, I want to touch on the life of Dante for a second, amen. This was my graduation weekend, amen. Most of you know that I graduated with my master's in theology with an emphasis on Christian leadership, amen. And it was a true blessing and an honor to and very humbled, amen, to receive this. You know, I really have to say that God has been blessing me and my family. And I mean, you know, I never would have thought that I would make it thus far. I have goals and dreams, but, you know, just to see it come to pass, it has just blessed my spirit. And, you know, the wife and I, we decided not to go to the graduation, but we went out to the Mall of America and enjoyed ourselves. And we're just now coming back. We dipped from there and went over to Canada and just enjoyed ourselves over there. And I tell you, it's just been such a blessing to my soul, amen. And I'm just so grateful to what God is doing. And I'm going to tell you, in 3 years from now, I will be Dr. Reverend Dr. Dante Townsend, amen. And I tell you, because I know what my God is going to do, amen. And so that leads me into my testimony time, faith in the unknown. You know, when you think about faith in the unknown, the Bible says, blessed are those who walked with Jesus, but blessed are those who did not walk with Jesus, who did not see his face, but yet still believe, paraphrasing, but still believe. Blessed are those who have not seen it, but yet still believe. Faith in the unknown. You know, we've had many of our family members and our friends and our loved ones go to glory before us. And oftentimes you wonder, what's going on? Have they seen the face of God? Did Jesus come and greet them? Faith in the unknown. When you think about life, there's the unknown. When you think about your journey, there's the unknown. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But the Bible tells us that if we have enough faith the size of a mustard seed, then we can tell that mountain to move, and it must move out our path. But what I found out about mountains and dealing with the limited human eye is that we cannot see on the other side of the mountain. Thus, if we try to look over, even over top of the mountain, without being in a helicopter or a airplane, it is impossible for us to see the peak of a mountain. So when we are looking at that mountain, we only see one side. Thus, if God blessed us with wings to where we can fly over the mountain, we would not know what's on the other side of the mountain until we got to that side. So thus, there is an unknown as to what's on the other side of the mountain. But with faith, it tells us that we can tell that mountain to move out our way. And when that mountain is moved out our way, then we get a clear vision of our path. We get a clear vision of what's in front of us and what's ahead of us. So thus, when you think about this, faith in the unknown, your faith creates a path for you to see what is unknown. You see, what I love about God is always there to carry us along the way. Many times in our lives, our feet are too brittle to walk on their own. And thus, when our feet are too brittle to walk on their own, amen, we need somebody to carry us. And sometimes we don't even know that God is carrying us, and God is saying, I'm protecting you all the way. But I need you to start walking as well. You see, when you begin to walk, that's your sign of faith. That's showing right there that you have enough faith that even though your legs may be brittle, you're going to start walking on them. Because the more you walk, the stronger they get. The stronger they get, the more you can walk. The more you walk, then you'll begin to run. And after you ran, faith says that I will step out, I will do what is asked of me, because my God supplies all my needs. My God's going to see me through it. My God's going to make sure that I come out victorious. You see, I can go back to what I was just speaking about, my personal life. Many times as I was going through this program, I wanted to give up. Many times as I was going through this program, I wanted to throw in the towel. Many times as I was going through this program, I did not practice what I preach, because my physical body was becoming tired and wore out and stressed out. But I had to remind myself that you do not do this for yourself, that you are doing this for the glory of God. And when you are doing something for the glory of God, you don't think about what your body feels like or what your mind says or what your heart says or what that voice that's coming into your head, whatever. You don't think about that because you know that at the end of the day, you are doing this for the glory of God. And your faith in the unknown will carry you through. So when you think about it, we should all have in the unknown. We should all be able to say that God's going to fix any situation. I may not know what's going to happen tomorrow, but I know who holds tomorrow. I may not know what's going to happen in my life, but I know the one that created my life. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen next week. I don't know what's going to happen next year. Lord, I don't even know if I'm going to be here, but guess what? I know a man that holds all of that in the palm of his hands. So regardless to what goes on in your life, what you may see, or how you may feel, know that your faith will carry you. Know that your faith will see you through. Know that God has not brought you thus far to drop you off. It's time that we stop talking about it and start being about it. You worrying about stuff? You let God handle that. You got a lot of problems and issues on your mind? You let God handle that. You see, there are times that the issues are not even our own issues. It's somebody else's issues, but we just got caught in the crossfire, and thus we have to then deal with it. But at the end of the day, still, you let God handle it. You see, it took me some 12 years to understand that. I'm not going to let worrying and stressing and all that kind of stuff kill me. I have too much to do for the kingdom. too much to do for this world. There are lights that I have to lit, that I will light along the way, that need to be lit. And I got the matches. I got the lighter. I got the flames. Too many light bulbs around here that need to be lit. It's my job to illuminate this world. Because my faith says that, that my faith in the unknown says that it will take me places that that I've never seen before. Somebody needs to know that today. Don't worry about it. Just be about it. Be about your Father's business. And let Him deal with all the rest. Let Him take care of it. And see what He'll do. You see, God has a way of uncovering a whole lot of stuff that man can't touch. And when God does it, it can't be recovered up. It can't be, you know, fixed. It can't be pushed under the rug. So what I'm saying is, your job is to keep your faith. Whether it's tomorrow or next year, have your faith. It's amazing. I'll say this and we're going to move on, but when I met Sister Michelle, who when the leader of this network, and she had saw one of my Facebook lives, and she said, "You ever thought about doing a radio show?" And I said, "Nah, that's not my thing. I don't know broadcasting." She said, "You would be perfect." And I said, "Oh, well, give me a little bit. Let me think about it." And God said, "Jump. Jump. Jump into the unknown." And with the help of God and with my faith in the Almighty, look at us now. Look at us now. With the help of good people by your side, look at us now. Keep your faith. Even when it gets tough, keep your faith. Hey, man. I want to, just for a second before we get started, I just got some questions from the listeners, amen. And I want to answer these questions to the best of my ability, amen. The first question was, what does God say about celebrating Easter the way we do in the United States? Well, going back, we know that the Easter was a pagan goddess who represented, her name was Easter, who represented the fertility god of the Anglo-Saxons, and then according to the Romans and all of that, this goddess, this pagan goddess, laid different color eggs, okay? Thus, we learn and we know that Easter is a pagan holiday. We know that the emperor, the Roman emperor Constantine, who saw the glory of the cross, wanted to please both the Christians and the pagans. Thus, he created this church, which we now know as the Roman Catholic Church. Thus, he put in all of the times that the pagans celebrated certain things. He made it also along with the Christians so that they may worship together. Thus, we do not call it, most contemporary Christians do not call it Easter anymore. We call it Happy Resurrection Day, simply because we know that it, though it may not be the day, the actual time that Christ rose from the dead, we do acknowledge the fact that he did rise from the dead. Thus, this is what we celebrate. It is not about the eggs. It's not about the candy. It's not about any of the Easter bunny. That's all pagan. What it is about is the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. That's what we should be focused on. Amen. I'm reading these as I get them. How does a follower of Christ follow Christ when single and lonely? Men and women. You are, because you, if you are a woman and you are a follower of Christ, then you must prepare yourself for your mate. What do I mean by that is you don't have the hunting license, okay? God gave the man the hunting license. So he that findeth a good wife findeth a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord, out of Proverbs. Thus, you, in this time of preparation, you are to prepare yourself physically, mentally, and spiritually for your husband, okay? Prepare, pray, fast, and ask God what it is that he would have for you to do in the time of preparation for your husband. From there, you do it, and you listen to God's voice, and God will send you what you need. I don't have a time frame. I don't know when, how, or where, but I just know that your time will come, but you must do what God is asking you to do in order to get there. Amen. How can God allow his churches to get blown up? How does he allow people to get killed in churches? Okay. Well, you know, it's kind of funny when people ask questions like that, because I've had questions asked like that, you know, like this to me in church, outside of church, and all around. I'll use as an example the tsunami that happened maybe about 15 years ago. And here in Detroit, we had in our newspaper, it had a big old title in bold letters. It had a picture of the tsunami, and it said, "Where was God? Question mark. Exclamation point. Exclamation point." And I always say that God was right there, because somebody survived. You see, we don't have a time frame on when our time is up, when our light is extinguished. We don't know. Only God knows that. His will, when our time is up, our time is up. So the church is being blown up. It's the churches that that's being blown up, and the wickedness and the evil, and people being shut up in the churches, all of that stuff comes from the works of the enemy. Now, the enemy has his anointed people out here too, his people that he has given power to destroy the work of the church, to destroy, you know, what God is doing. And that's what they do. That's what they do. Whether it's you know, we have people who act like Christians and they enter into the churches, and they may be other than religious factions just to get in and to warp and destroy. That happens too. I've seen it happen. They claim that they're Christians but not a Christian to save their life, but they come in just to destroy. But they swear they are, but they're not. I've seen it. So what I'm saying to you is that when a church is shot up, a church is destroyed, that is the evil that men do. Now, yes, can God stop a bullet from penetrating the walls of the church? Absolutely. Can God stop things from happening? Absolutely. But sometimes it is a lesson for the people to see. It's so amazing. Just like, you know, everybody's crying about our president. God allowed that to happen because he's trying to open the eyes of the people. And the more that we allow hatred to fuel our hearts, the more things are going to be terrible and destroyed. So until we make that decision, and I'm not talking about just a color situation. I'm talking about all people. When we decide that enough is enough, then and only then will things begin to change. So that is my answer to that. The evil, the sin of this world, causes certain people who are weak-minded to do things that will destroy everybody. Because don't think that it's just an attack on the church. They've attacked schools, post office, casinos, mosques, churches. I'm sure, or throughout history, there have been some attacks on some of the synagogues, naval bases, army bases, marine bases. I mean, it's everywhere. It's not just attack on the church. It's an attack on the people. And that's what Satan wants. Satan wants to destroy. Do you know? Now, let me say this. When a person is shot and killed, okay, and if they're not a believer in the good master, in the Lord Almighty, if they have not accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, just because one is killed, that does not grant them entrance into heaven. So if you have a group of people that did not believe in the Almighty as their Lord and Savior, and they're shot and killed by a gunman, then the gunman turns the gun on himself. Well, now you have just got a whole group of people plus that gunman now in the pit of hell. And who has won? The enemy. The enemy has won. When all those people had an opportunity to give their lives over to Christ, the enemy has won. So that's what that is. It's an attack on the people. Satan taps into your future, and he knows where you're going to be. But if he can use one of his minions to destroy you before you get there, then he's not worried about you. Amen. Moving on, I want to read the scripture to you. And it's just amazing that this is all tying together, but that's how God works. The scripture will come out of 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning with verse 8. And it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your enemy, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, be steadfast in faith. Know that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world." I want to just use that for a second, just for a few minutes. I want to touch on a subject. You are somebody. The Apostle Peter wrote those words, to be sober-minded, to be vigilant, because your enemy, the devil, is coming like a roaring lion, seeking whom he can devour. What I love about this is that it is a word of encouragement, but it's also a word of warning. It is telling the people of that time to know that everything that you try to do, there's always going to be an opposition that try to stop you. It's telling the people of that time that regardless of what you try to do, good for God's people, there's going to always be an issue come up that's going to try to ruin your day. It's telling the people there that regardless of what you try to do in this life, know that Satan is going to be right there to try to pounce on you and to destroy you. But what Peter was saying among all of that was that know that you are somebody. When you think about this, what he's saying is that you don't have to worry yourself about what he tries to do, what he tries to say to you, and how he tries to stop you from moving forward because you belong to Jesus. But let me go on in verse 10. It says, but may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So what I'm saying to you is that you belong to the Almighty Master. You don't have to worry yourself about what the enemy tries to do. The enemy's job is to remove the Almighty crown off of your head. But only way that he can remove this off of your head is if you give him that attention that he desires. Oh, what am I saying? It's just like a child, amen, that's starving for attention. When they see that somebody focuses on them, when you focus on them, then they start to act out even more. But when you look at them as if you're not looking at them and they're still trying to get your attention, they don't act up. Well, that's just like the enemy. We know that he's always going to be there, but we don't have to acknowledge. We don't have to allow ourselves to fall into his traps. We don't have to let ourselves be picked up by the nonsense that he throws at us. But all we are to do is to focus on the word of God. You are somebody. And let me tell you why I called it that. Because the enemy will tell you that you are nothing. The enemy will tell you that you belong under somebody's feet. The enemy will tell you that you should be his slave. But I'm here to let you know that when the blood of Jesus ran down on your head, you became somebody. You see, I remember when I was a slave to sin. I didn't have a name at the time. All I had was a number. And every time that I found myself sinning, that number went down more and more. And thank the Lord that it didn't get down to zero, because if it got down to zero, that means that was the end of my life, and thus my soul will be cast into the pit of hell. So when God came into my life, he gave me my name of Dante. You are somebody. You mean everything to the kingdom of God. Stand up, rise up, and walk. Take up your bed. Your eyes were closed. Now you can see. Know that Jesus have a mission for you. Yes, sir. You have some preachers out here. I ain't going to touch on that. I'm not going to touch on that. What I want to say is, in this day and age, know who you are and know whose you are. Because God has a promise for you. God has a word that he wants to place into you. And when you've been growing up and everybody's been telling you that you would amount to nothing, that you're going to be dead, that you don't have nothing to offer to this society, you can look into yourself and know that your Almighty, who lives inside of you, will fill you up with a word, and you will... You are somebody, regardless to what your parents may say, what your siblings may say, what your friends may say, what your enemies may say. You belong to the Almighty God. And what God bless, what God bless, one more time, what God bless, no man can curse. No man can touch. No man can tear down. And no man can destroy. You are heirs to salvation. The light that sits on top of the hill that illuminates the city. The salt that's more favorable than anything of this world. You are a child of the Most High God. Stand up, because the enemy is ready to pounce on you. Stand up. Though those lions hide in the thickets, stand up. Though those bears are waiting to claw you, stand up. And be what God has called you to be. Take the mantle. Be the head and not the tail. Remove all the negativity from your life. Every time Satan tries to tell you that you're hurting, remove it from your life. Every time he tries to tell you that you're tired, remove it from your life. Every time he tries to tell you to go left when the Holy Spirit is telling you to go right, remove it from your life. It's time that we focus on the saving graces of our Lord and Savior. He died so that we may live. They hung him on a tree. They beat him to an inch, within an inch of his life. But he didn't run. He picked up his cross. He marched. He's asking now, if you are somebody, will you pick up your cross and follow me? Amen. I always like to end the show with giving you an opportunity to give your life over to Christ. Pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I love you. I ask that you will come into my heart. Lord, I believe that you live and that you died and that you rose again. Be the Lord of my life. I accept you as my Lord, my Savior, and my Redeemer. I am yours. You are mine. Now use me in any way you want, and I'll be forever grateful. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer with me and you sincerely meant it within your heart, know that salvation belongs to you. That means if you die at this very moment because of your faith in the unknown God that you have just submitted to, you would go into heaven. Now I urge you to get yourself into a Bible-based church. Be baptized, be renewed, and live a life according to a servant of the good master. God bless you. And happy birthday. Brother Akim, do we have anybody on that may want to give a word?
Yes, I believe we have a brother Darius who's been holding for a while. We'll bring him right in.
Amen. Good evening, brother Darius. Welcome to the Jubilee Affair. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing good. And you?
I'm blessed as always, sir. Thank you.
Yes, I was today at our church. We had Missionary Sunday, and we had a guest. Yeah, guest speaker. And the missionary present, we think we referred to Acts 20, verses 17 through 28.
Okay.
And it kind of tied into our Bible Sunday school lesson about being called being a disciple.
Amen. Amen. So in your opinion, what is being a disciple?
Being a disciple is to go out, teach, tell the goodness of God and spread the word.
Amen. 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 As always, Brother Darius, thank you for giving us a good word and something to always think about.
Yes.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Brother Kim, do we have anybody else on that may want to give a word?
Yes, we do. Got another person coming up right now.
Amen. And then welcome to the Jubilee Affair.
Hello, Deacon Maurice.
How you doing, sir?
All right.
Good. What's been going on with you? I haven't talked to you in a while.
Been busy lately, moving to my own place and everything.
Amen. All right, so God has been blessing.
Yes.
Amen. Then that means that's all that matters, because as long as he's been blessing you, Doc, which I know he does, then everything else is just part of the process, brother. It's good to hear your voice, and it's good to hear that you're still holding up that bloodstained banner, sir. I mean, you got a word for us, Doctor?
At Sunday school, that's what's talking about serving in Jesus' power.
Okay. Amen. So what can you tell us about that? What can you tell us about that?
By the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doeth this man stand here before you whole.
Amen. Amen. That's right. That means we have to stand in the power and the authority of Jesus Christ. He was crucified for you and for me, and for them and for everybody. So we have to stand on that. That is our secret to success. That we serve a crucified King that not only died but came back to life for you and for me. Amen. Thank you, brother.
And I like what my father. We're not like my father preached about earlier, looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith.
That's right. The Alpha and the Omega.
And he said, said we can look to him for anything. You can ask in my name for anything, it will be done.
Amen. That's right. So true. Amen. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Amen. Brother Kim, do we have anybody else on?
No. We have some folks listening, but no one else has pressed the number one on their phones. If you'd like to get on air with the pastor and say a few things, please press the number one on your keypad, and we'll be happy to bring you right in.
Amen. And, you know, as we're winding down, I just want to say that it's just a true blessing to be here I tell you, I look forward to it, and because I always know that God's going to show up and show out. And so long as He shows up and shows out, Doctor, I'm always grateful. I'm always grateful to you, to my audience, to everybody. I'm just so grateful. God didn't have to use me, amen, but He did. And so, I tell you. But as we wind down, I just would like to say we have just a few more minutes. I want to say to those who are listening, be encouraged at all times. Be encouraged at all times and know that the Lord is on your side. That the Lord is on your side. And it may not seem that way, but He got you. And He's going to take care of you. I promise you that. On behalf of Brother Darius, the good Deacon Maurice, the good Brother Hakim Nuba, and yours truly, Pastor D. Townsend, you have been listening to the Jubilee Affair. Good night, God bless, and we are signing off.